May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So I'm just going to test and see, is it better with this?
You need more horsepower?
Or can you hear me with this?
This.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Let's go without it.
Okay.
I'm going to
blow you through now.
Yeah. It's all right. It's the only thing I have to do. After this, I get to go to bed. All right. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Will you be able to hear me back there? Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now skip down to verse 6. "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And in verse 17, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So is the Lord saying that we're supposed to do all of this stuff? We're supposed to give alms. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to fast. We're supposed to do all of these disciplines in secret? It seems to be the message in those passages I just read. So, why would that be? Well, it's not so much that it's to be done in secret, but that the focus is in the right place on the relationship. No, this is the relationship sermon. Okay, you get it. But it's so that he's calling us into a deeper relationship through the disciplines that he is telling the people in the Sermon on the Mount about. And that's what Lent is about, my brothers and sisters. It's about relationship. It's time for us to improve and deepen and strengthen our relationship with God. Now, to improve any relationship, you have to spend time together. You and Kevin, you spend time together, yeah? Your relationship getting better? Yeah, of course. That's how that works, right? You get to know each other. You get to be closer to each other. And that's what's important. But it's not about what you do. It's about being together. I mean, sometimes just sitting in the same room quietly is as profound as doing anything together. It's not about the doing, it's about the being. Okay? This season of Lent is about spending time in relationship with God. It's about changing. I listened to Father Chris's sermon this past. By the way, that was a really good sermon. I told him, but I need to tell you, I just thought that was a really good sermon. I thought you did an excellent job. But I noticed how enthusiastic he was about change, how he was really desirous of seeing that day in and day out. I was listening to a different sermon. But anyway. And Christopher in his blog is talking about the season of Lent as being a season of transformation, this metamorphosis that needs to happen during the season of Lent. And when we're talking about change, It's really important for us to recognize that the world is desperate for Christ. They don't know it, but the world is desperate for Christ. But they don't see a distinct difference between those who are of the world and those who are of Christ. And so what has to change? Well, they need to change. But if they can't tell the difference between them and us, then guess who needs to change? It's us. There needs to be a transformation so that the people of God actually look like Christ and behave like Christ and allow Christ to live through them, that the world may be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. And so let's talk a little bit about Lenten discipline and how that can help us recognize and embrace this change that God wants to make in us. Let me tell you real quickly first a story. A number of months ago, there was a problem going on in the parish, and I really wanted to deal with that problem. And so I was praying about, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do about this situation? And he said, don't try to fix it. Okay. And so I was talking to my accountability partner, and I was asking him about it, and he said, whatever you do, don't try to fix it. I was like, okay. And I talked to Bishop Jones about the situation, and he said, don't try to fix it. Ultimately, the situation took care of it. Well, it didn't take care of itself. God took care of it. But ultimately, it was dealt with, and everything was done. And if I had gotten in the middle of that, I promise you it would have been really, really ugly. But I was willing to be and to let God be in me to deal with that situation. I didn't have to do anything. And Saturday, I came up here and did some stuff, went back home, and just in the hour and a half I'd been gone, I was just completely wasted and wiped out. And so I was praying, God, you know, I need to have strength. I need to be there tomorrow. God, you've got to drive this virus away from me, and I need to be able to be in church tomorrow. And he said, Bill, I can handle this without you. You laugh. I didn't laugh. I was thinking, humility doesn't come in spoonfuls. It comes in shovelfuls. It's just, okay. Nothing to make you feel more useless than to have God tell you, I don't need you. Okay. But when Father Chris was talking about listening, and he was saying, you know, it's really important for us to recognize that we do need to take time to listen. And then he joyfully, I love this, he says, but I know what God's going to say to you. He's going to tell you, let me live my life through you. So how do we do that? That's what Lenten discipline is about. Learning how to do that very thing, to allow Jesus Christ to live his life through us. And I've got the answer, by the way. All right? So just as Chris had the answer to listening, I've got the answer. If Jesus wants to live his life through you, how do you do that?
Let him.
Exactly. That is exactly what he said. Let him. Let him. It's not a matter of us doing something so that we can acquire him and bring him into our lives. It's a matter of being there and receiving him and allowing him to do his work through us. Let him. Just let him live his life through us. Now,
it seems to me your son's blog made the same point. You don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't try too hard. I mean, one of the things that I've found, now, I've been a liturgical sacramental Christian my entire life, and you know, all through the years back when we were in the Episcopal Church, one of the things was they would give us these Lenten mite boxes or Lenten devotional booklets where you put the coin in there, you know, and there were all these things that we were told we had to give up something for Lent, and you know, it's time for us to hit the pause button and say, wait a minute, okay? If the word we're hearing is to listen, then it's important for us to get silent so that we can hear the still small voice. It's really, really important to get rid of the competing voices that are at work trying to get our attention. Lenten disciplines can do that same kind of thing. If I give up chocolate, then my desire for chocolate seems to just increase. And the focus then becomes the chocolate and what I have given up, rather than the God for whom I gave it up. You see what I'm saying? And so we try too hard sometimes. It's important for us just to be still and to listen. And so let's look for a minute at the invitation to a holy Lent. All right? In the invitation to a holy Lent, it tells us that we are invited into this holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, prayer, fasting, and self-denial, by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Now that sounds like a lot of doing. Self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, reading, meditating on God's holy word. Sounds like a lot of doing. But let me give you an alternative view on all of that, all right? Self-examination and repentance. Well, if you are reading the meditations that I wrote for this Lent, I wrote those a long time ago. The end of last year was when I wrote those. And the message that I was hearing very clearly was that repentance is not something you have to work at. It's something that is a gift that you receive. And so that's why it's called the gift of repentance. And when you think about self-examination, you can get one of those laundry list examination booklets and go through it, like the prayer book of St. Augustine. It has a self-examination, and you can go through it line by line, or you can use the Ten Commandments, or you can use the Beatitudes. You can make it a chore if you want to. Or you can just get really quiet with God and say, God, I really want to get this all right with you. Show me what it is that I need to repent of. Show me what it is that keeps me from being intimate with you. Show me whatever. And allow God to minister His grace into your life. Receive it as a gift. Do you see? It's not so much a work as it is the reception of the grace of God for each one of us. Prayer, fasting, self-denial. Well, prayer, that requires a certain amount of effort on our part. Does it? One of the problems I believe that prayer has is that we make it, I'm not sure what the word is, unilateral? We make it one way. We offer our prayers to God. We spend a lot of time telling God what we want. We tell God we are interceding for somebody else. We tell God all of our problems. We tell God all of our sins. It's pretty much one way all too often. But what I'm believing God is saying to us during this season of Lent is that we need to look at prayer as two-way communication and really emphasize the one way coming the other direction. Spending time just saying, God, here, I'm in your presence. Please spend this time to speak to me. Now, Chris has already told us what he's going to say. All right, well, but then that gives you the opportunity to say, okay, God, how can I do that? What can I change? And then listen. And listen, and then listen a little more for that still small voice. Prayer is supposed to be a two-way street here. Okay? And Let me give you one other tool that you can use in regards to prayer that takes your mind just completely out of it. If you have the gift, then I encourage you to use the gift of tongues. Just spend some time praying in tongues. It takes your mind away from it. You're not concentrating on what you're praying about. You're concentrating on God. And your spirit is witnessing to His spirit, and the communion is then opened up even more intently. Okay? You know, Bishop Adler used to pray 3 hours a day in tongues. Okay? And it's amazing. He told story after story about how there would be a problem, say, he's in California, you know, and there's a problem going on in the Philippines. And so he just goes into his prayer closet and he begins praying, and 3 hours goes by in just a heartbeat. He comes out and there's a message from the Philippines saying, oh, that problem we had, it's been solved. Yeah. More often than not, that was the experience that he had. Again, you know, don't try to fix it. Leave it in the hands of God. All right. Fasting. Well, obviously, fasting is a doing thing, isn't it? Yes, of course, we have to give up something. What's that?
You don't do anything, you just don't do it.
That's right. But let me give you an example. I won't embarrass anybody, but I know that there was somebody who gave up Facebook last year for Lent. Now, mind you, that was fabulous. I think that was a great thing. Can you imagine if instead of doing FaceTime with people on here on this level, that if you had FaceTime with God instead, where you would have spent time doing Facebook and communicating with somebody in the temporal world, what if you suddenly had this Facebook account with God? There's a television show about that anyway. But or just, again, I mentioned the chocolate thing. If you have given up something, don't give up coffee. You need that, okay? But just where you would normally have had whatever it was you gave up, spending time, that time just in the quiet presence of God. Or if it is a food issue, then where you were feeling hungry physically, grab the Bible and feed your spirit with the Word of God. Okay. And put the focus where it belongs, not on the things of this world, but on the things that relate us and draw us into relationship and nourishes our relationship with God. All right, and self-denial. Well, that's obviously something we have to do. No? Well, think in terms of marriage. Actually, I wish Diane were here. I was going to ask her if I could use this as an example. So, Diane, if you don't like it tough, or you weren't here to tell me not to, okay? Many, many, many years ago when we were doing an engaged encounter, she and Marshall told the story about how when Marshall wanted to do something really special for Diane, he would go and he would sell a gun. And now, mind you, that was a big deal for Marshall to sell a gun. At one point, he had an antique gun that he sold so that he could buy her a very expensive gift. And that was self-denial. He gave up something so that Diane could have something even more precious. Now, that's the idea, is that it's not, he wasn't concentrating on what he was giving up. He was concentrating on what was going to make Diane really, really happy. That's the self-denial we're looking at in relationship with God. It's not about giving up something in this world. It's that we might be that much more pleasing in our relationship with God and pleased with our relationship with God. It's self-denial. Getting rid of the self so that we may be in Him, and that He may be in us. All right, so self-examination, repentance, it's a gift. Prayer, fasting, self-denial, it can be a tremendous gift. Reading and meditating on God's holy word. You know, when Miranda and I were dating, There was one summer where I had to be in Dallas and she had to be in Austin. Three of the longest months of my life. And that was a long time before cell phones. We couldn't just pick up the phone and call each other. You know, it was extremely expensive to make a long-distance telephone call. And so we agreed that we would be disciplined and we would just write letters to each other during the week. And we would allow ourselves one day every 2 weeks to talk on the telephone. Okay, mind you, that broke down toward the end of the summer. But, it, you know, anyway.
But Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, Southwest Airlines, thanks be to God. They were really good in those days. But anyway, they're probably still good. I don't know. Anyway, but I would get those letters, and I would just read them, and I would reread them, and I would reread them, and I would reread them. They were love letters. And you know, that's what this is. It's a love letter. To read and meditate on God's holy word is to have a love letter from God. And so just spend time reading and rereading. You know, I know that story. I've read that story 100 times. Yeah. Now read it again with fresh eyes and see what God will show you. That's what meditating is just looking at it with a whole new set of eyes and seeing things you never saw in there before. And if you need some tips on how to do that, let me give you a suggestion on one that you could do this weekend. The Fellowship of St. Benedict is going to be meeting on Saturday at 11 o'clock via Zoom. So you could do this in your own home. But Father Gurick from Mepkin Abbey is going to be talking about Lectio Divina, about a way to get into the Word of God. And if you want to be a part of that and you want to hear what he has to say, come on. That would be great. Just one suggestion. But reading and meditating, on God's holy word is feeding on Him, feeding on that relationship and nourishing that oneness with God. All right. So, do we do it all in secret? No, it's not about being secretive. It's about being in that right relationship with God. It's not about the world or having the world see what we're doing, or even being concentrated ourselves on the world. It's about nourishing and reinvigorating that relationship with God, improving our relationship with Jesus Christ. The point of all of this is to be one with Him so that He may live His life through us. Amen.